on the Feast of Shavuot, which is chapter 2. And I will cut it, the length of it, because of our time constraints today, which is fine. So there's many times when I read scripture and I'm preparing messages, and a lot of the added scripture is also for my instruction too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Then Kepha, whose Gentile name is Peter, stood up with the 11 and raised his voice to address them. You Judeans and all of you staying here in Jerusalem, let me tell you what this means. Listen carefully to me. And what had happened prior? 120 had been meeting together for many, many days. They're spending time in prayer, becoming one accord, one heart, one mind, one passion. The Spirit of the living God descends upon him, and he gives them various different languages. And they speak and they proclaim of the great things that God has done through his servant Yeshua, the Messiah. And so all these Jews who are gathered together from out the known world, from the diaspora at that time, are gathered together to celebrate Shavuot, the giving of the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, which is a feast of Adonai. And so let's move quickly now forward here. Kepha says, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken about through the prophet Yoel, who is Joel. Adonai says that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon everyone. And that's a shock to those that are hearing right now. Everyone? What do you mean? Everyone. Going forward. Your sons and daughters will now prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now, who's speaking these words? It's Kepha, but he's speaking it to the people. This one person, as John eloquently shared earlier, Kepha Peter, had denied Messiah 3 times. But they had that time of reconciliation, the time of Teshuvah, when after Yeshua had raised and he was out there on the side of the Sea of Galilee, and Kepha went back to the old things, his old lifestyle, just like John was talking about earlier. The old things that he found comfort into in the world, his old occupation. And the Lord was there on the seashore, and they hadn't caught anything. And what happened? He said, why don't you just go out and just throw the net on that one side of the boat? And it says that when they started to draw that in, Kepha, he saw and he recognized who the one that was speaking to them. And he dove into the water and he swam there. And the process, he was reconciled. 3 times, Kepha Peter denied Yeshua. And 3 times, he was able to acknowledge Yeshua. And so from that time up to now, the sobering Shavuot, Kepha Peter was not out preaching and teaching. Why? Because he was there waiting for the Spirit of the living God, the unction of the Spirit, the anointing, that he might fulfill his call and do as Yeshua did. Because Yeshua didn't do anything that he did not see the Father doing. And so now here a person who denied his Messiah for fear of his own life 3 times stood up before more than 3,000 people and declared who Yeshua was, and explained all these things to them. And so we'll continue here. Now, in verse 19 of Acts chapter 2, I will perform miracles in the sky above. Who's speaking? But Kepha. But who is speaking through him? Yeshua. Signs on the earth below, fire, blood, and thick smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon blood before the great and fearful days of Adonai comes. And then whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And is Kepha giving a brand new revelation? No. He's simply quoting that Joel. And just think, when Joel spoke to the scribe and the scribe penned these words, Joel was hoping instantaneously it would happen while he was here on earth. But Joel was buried, and this had been centuries later. Now it's being fulfilled. So going forward, verse 22, men of Israel, listen to this. Yeshua from Nazareth was a man demonstrated to you to have been from God by powerful works and miracles and signs that God performed through him in your presence. Remember the accusation of the Pharisees that he was doing this by the power of Beelzebub? See, this is being put to rest now. He's declaring, Cephas saying, that this was done by the Father's will. And you're witnesses to this yourselves. Going forward, verse 23, this man was arrested, who's the man but Yeshua, in accordance with God's predetermined plan. This was God's doing, the Father's doing. And foreknowledge, and through the agency of persons not bound by Torah, who's he speaking about there, but the Romans, you nailed him up on the stake and you killed him. Going forward, verse 24, but God raised him up and freed him from suffering and death. It was impossible that death could keep its hold on him. For David says about him, I saw Adonai always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. For this reason, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced, and now my body too will live on in the certain hope that you will not abandon me to Sheol or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you fill me with joy by your presence. Now, is he giving a new version of what the scripture has not already recorded? No. That's from Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. And so when he starts sharing these things, the people that are hearing it, the Jewish people who are hearing this, they know Psalm 16, 8 through 11. And they know Joel because they're familiar with that. Just like we have these parashah readings throughout the year, if you ever closely focus on them, a lot of these scriptures we do through on a yearly basis. We go through the Tanakh, the Haftorah, and that's what they would do from week to week. So they know these scriptures, but it's getting the fulfillment and how to apply these scriptures. So not only is Cephas declaring these things, but he's also teaching and training them. He's giving them insight on all of God's word. Continuing now in verse 29. Brothers, notice that. He recognized them as fellow Jews. I know that I can say to you frankly that the patriarch David died and was buried in his tomb and is with us to this day. Therefore, since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that one of his descendants would sit on the throne, he was speaking in advance about the resurrection of the Messiah, that it was he who would not be abandoned in Sheol and whose flesh would not see decay. God raised up this Yeshua, and you are all witnesses to it. Because it happened. Because all of them were there. How do we know this? Because they were there by the Moed, the appointed days of celebrating Passover, which had ended 50 days prior to that very day where they were celebrating Shavuot, Pentecost. So moving forward, verse 30. Therefore, since he was a prophet, who's the he but Yeshua? And he knew that God had sworn an oath to him that one of his descendants, this was David, would sit on his throne. Verse 31. He was speaking in advance about the resurrection of the Messiah, that it was he who was not abandoned to Sheol, whose flesh did not see decay, that God raised up this Yeshua, and you're all witnesses to it. Moreover, verse 32, he has been exalted to the right hand of God. And you know what when he proclaimed that? What did Yeshua say to those that were about to put him to death? One day you will see me at the right hand of the Lord. And what does it say? They covered their ears when they had that trial against Yeshua. And they began to hit him. Going forward here. He has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, and has poured out this gift which you are now both seeing and hearing. And so where is the Ruach being manifest? But through these 120 men and women. And it's undeniable to them. Going forward here. Verse 33. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says, this is David, the Spirit of the living God, who came upon David, said these words. In verse 34. Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, and I will make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Where is that? From Psalms, Tehillim 11:1. So he's giving application for them to get the full understanding. Because up to that very point, time, they really believed that God was going to raise David up from his tomb. And he was going to come back to be the king of Israel again. See, they got this scripture out of context. They didn't fully understand. So moving forward here. Verse 36. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know beyond doubt that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Yeshua, whom you executed on the stake. On hearing this, they were stung in their hearts. And they said to Kepha and the other emissaries, brothers, what should we do? See, he did not have to argue with them. He didn't have to convince them because he knew the same Spirit of living God that filled him and gave him that language to speak out, because Kepha was one of the 120. It doesn't tell us which of those languages that he spoke, because that's not the important part. The important part is that he simply allowed the Spirit of living God to manifest his gift that Peter did not possess, that God's kingdom would be established in the hearts and minds of those who were assembled. So moving forward, verse 38, Kepha answered them, turn from sin, teshuvah, and return to God. Each one of you be immersed into the authority of Yeshua the Messiah, into the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise is for you and your children, and for those far away, as many as Adonai your God may call. He pressed his case with many other arguments, and he kept pleading with them, save yourselves from this perverse generation. So those who accepted what he said were immersed, and they were added to the group. That day, about 3,000 people. Verse 42, they continued faithfully in the teachings of the emissaries. Why did they need that? Because they had to receive revelation. Because now there's a new covenant being established. And that Yeshua, by his blood, they have been sanctified. They've been cleansed. And so Judaism has now become complete in Messiah, if you accept Messiah. Because in the near future, the Lord was going to allow what? But the second temple to be destroyed. And the Tanakh, the Old Testament, with the temple sacrifices, were about to end. Adonai always makes provision. The temple was going to be the symbol. And as we get further in the Brit Hadashah, it's revealed to this, is that God does not want to dwell in temples of stone, but he wants to dwell in temples of flesh, which is you and I. Because that's what the Lord is after. The Father loves us who have been created in his image and likeness. He's not into his creation, except for the creation which is us, which is in his image and likeness. And that's why Kepha later wrote in 2 Peter that the heavens and the earth will be destroyed. The universe, as we know it, will be destroyed. Not by water, but by fire. And he will make all things new. And so what Yeshua did through Kepha was he was giving them literal evidence for those people to see that here was a man who was transformed. Because think about this. How many people there that were assembled with those over 3,000 Jewish people have may have been there when he was denying Messiah three times? Those young women that said, yes, your dialect, your accent gives you away. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to transform us in the image and likeness of his Son, but that's only done by two things. By the Spirit of the living God revealing to us where we are in our present state and allowing us to come so we'll produce what? Fruits of repentance. And do teshuvah. Repent and go back to God. And then he's able to pour out his Spirit within us that we can then proclaim and build his kingdom and fulfill our call. Continuing here. Verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and many miracles and signs took place through the emissaries. Why were these miracles and signs being done? To give evidence of the kingdom of God. Do those things still happen today? Absolutely. I know in our Western society and all our technologies of sciences, when anyone goes under a knife of a surgeon and that person is healed and things are corrected, that's a miracle of God. But we're here today in our scientific mindset, we think, well, that's just a simple occurrence. It's a miracle of God in all these things. So going forward, verse 44, all those trusting Yeshua, they stayed together and they had everything in common. In fact, they sold their property and their possessions and distributed the proceeds to all who were in need. See, the focus was no longer themselves anymore. It wasn't about me and my kingdom and what I could attain and manipulate other people. But it was, they were out there helping others. Going forward, verse 46. Continually, faithfully, with singleness and purpose, to meet in the temple courts daily. Notice that. They did not reject the temple, where they were to be a witness, where they were. Going forward. And breaking bread in several homes, they shared their food with joy and simplicity of heart. Continually in the temple courts, they simply remained as Jews. That's a comment I slipped in there with the scripture reading. They were praising God and having respect of all people. That's their testimony. It's not what they're advertised. It's nothing they put on. But they gained respect. And day after day, the Lord kept adding to them those who were being saved. That's why sometimes you see an assembly where people will come and they'll just simply move on. Granted, some go to other congregations, but some did not receive. They received the gift of Messiah, but the things of this earth are more precious to them, and they simply lay it aside. Notice in that scripture, who's drawing them but the Lord? It wasn't because all of a sudden Kepha became this dynamic, charismatic individual, but it was the power of God. Here was a man who denied Messiah three times. Was a complete failure in himself because he wanted to do things for his own strength and will. But men and women who will step aside and just simply allow God to do what he wants to do, because he receives all praise, glory, and honor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Commentary on 247, I'll end on this. Having favor with all people, they were not excluded from the Jewish community. The Lord kept adding to those being saved. This is the climax of the picture painted in verses 42 through 47. Because of the believer's Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit inspired obedience to the Torah, that is, to the Torah as expounded by the emissaries, God blessed the Messianic community with growth in numbers of truly saved persons, and all of them Jews. Not one of them ever converted to Christianity. They simply lived as Jewish people who received Yeshua as their Messiah. Going forward, this significant and rapidly growing community of persons honoring Yeshua as the Messiah and believing in the good news is described not as an alien Christian church, but as a movement within Judaism. The first Gentiles without a prior Jewish connection did not join the Messianic community until chapter 10 of the book of Acts, the book of the emissaries. It wasn't until much later. And that was all the Lord's ordaining of all this. But the Lord wanted his kihilat, his called out ones, to be one assembly, both Jews and those from all the nations who could be one in Messiah. This is a beautiful journey that we're on right now, that the Lord is orchestrating. But what does the Lord ask us to do? Die to ourselves and arise in new life in Messiah. To his name all be all praise and glory and honor. And you